Thank you, brother. I say this almost every time, but I mean it. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. It truly is. And I tell you, I've so looked forward to being up here in this camp meeting with y'all, and I appreciate the invitation. As everyone has said, but I know that it does mean a lot. The cards and the things that y'all sent, it means something, and I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to take for granted this opportunity to stand behind the pulpit this morning. I don't take it lightly. I never have, and there's a good reason for that, because God expects something out of us this morning. We have a great responsibility to not present anything except Him today. And as the brother said last night, that He be lifted up in this place. He paid the price for us, and I'm just thankful. I'm glad for my brothers that I've already known for a few years here. I appreciate their friendship, and down through the years, the people I've met, and I'm so thankful to meet new ones. You know, back a few years ago, we had, and I know a lot of you pastors probably do this, we have what we call a friendship day every year, and it's a great day for people to get others to come to church, and I had a guy, I asked, and in fact, he was another preacher, and I asked him something about the friendship day, and he said, well, who's to say I don't have all the friends I want? And I said, well, I don't. I don't. I'm, you know, the Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I'm glad I love the body of Christ. Amen. Not just my four and no more. But I'm glad, and listen, that's not saying I'm that good. I'm glad God gave me a love for the body of Christ. So I'm thankful to meet new people, and I'm looking forward to spending eternity with those that have been born again and know the Lord. This morning the Lord gave us a message, and I hope that it'll be a help to the church and to the body of Christ this morning. And the title of it's a little bit different this morning, but I hope with the help of the Lord that He'll bring this out to us this morning. I want to talk about the unbelieving believer. That sounds a little bit off the wall. The unbelieving believer. And if you will, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 9 as we get started this morning. You know, the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Amen? So, really believing, not just that there is a God, not just that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which that's essential for us to believe that, but we need to believe God wholeheartedly for everything this morning. For everything. Mark chapter 9, and in verse 17, that's where we'll start. And it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help him. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked that foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, I know that's very familiar scripture to a lot of you, and I'm glad it's familiar if you're familiar with it. Because I love the Word of God this morning. Amen? Doesn't matter how many times it's preached, how many times we read it. I love the Word of God. Job said, I esteem the words of God more than my necessary food. It's the best thing we've got on the planet Earth. Amen? Is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And we couldn't have the Spirit of God except through the Word of God. Amen? It don't just come up on you. But when we get into the Word of God, we'll find out that His presence is real this morning. Amen? So I want to look at this morning. And as it said, one of the multitude came to the Lord. And he said, Master, he said, I brought my son and he has a dumb spirit. And that word dumb means he was speechless. He couldn't talk. Can you imagine having a child, church, that you want to help so bad? You want to do anything to help him, and if you could just go to him and say, son, what is it? How are you feeling? How's this affecting you? What can we do for you? And that boy cannot say a word. He cannot speak and tell you what's going on with him. All you know is there's something in his life, and you want to help your child more than anything else. And so you take that boy to the church and you say, church, can you help me? Can you do something for my boy? There's something that's killing him, and I need some help for my child. And they just look at you and they say, I don't know what to do. I know Jesus. I've walked with him, but I don't know what to do for your son. Here is some unbelief in the believers. And so he takes this boy that he loves and he takes him to the Lord, and he said, I brought him to your disciples, but they can't do anything. And if you can, please have compassion and do something for my son. You know, a lot of times we'll go to the Lord with a desperate need and we'll say, Lord, I'm praying. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, God. I believe in you, and if you can do anything, Lord, please have compassion on me right now. Please have compassion on my family right now. And if you can do anything, God, just, I believe you, God, but if you can, just do it. You say, I never prayed that kind of prayer. We better examine ourselves a little bit. Because I've prayed something like that before. And Jesus said, it's not if I can. The question is, here's the if. If you can believe. That's where it's at. If you can believe, then all things are possible. The Lord said, I'm not limited. You're doing the limiting. Church, we limit the Lord so many times when we believe to a point. Oh, Jesus, I know who you saved me. God, you forgave me of my sins. But God, I'll believe you to a point. When it's easy to believe you, I'll do that. But there's still some unbelief. And this man said, here's his response. I believe, but I need some help with this unbelief. You see, I've got a spiritual warfare going on sometimes in me. And it's not that I don't believe, but I need some help with my unbelief. And until we recognize that even though we believe, until we recognize that there's still some unbelief sometimes, we'll never get any help from the Lord. Lord, just help me with this part that I'm having trouble with believing, because I'm still walking in the flesh. I'm still living in the flesh. And when I'm not walking in the Spirit, that unbelief gets a hold of me sometimes. And I have a struggle with that. You know, after the resurrection, when Jesus walked upon this earth for 40 days, right after His resurrection, the Bible said He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whose 7 devils came. Listen, I don't know how many devils you've ever had to deal with, but Jesus don't have any trouble with any of them. Amen. And He appeared to Mary Magdalene first, and she went and told the others that Jesus appeared to me, and they were mourning and they were weeping, it says in Mark 16:10, and when they heard that He was alive and had been seen of Mary Magdalene, the Bible said they believed not. See, because we don't just hear the preacher, we gotta see it first. Sometimes we hear a message from God week after week after week, and your pastor will study, and he'll be led by the Spirit, and he'll bring a message, and we'll sit there and shake our heads and we'll holler amen. But do we take it home with us? God, I've got to see it first, and then what Brother Mike said, and then I'll believe it, but until I live it, I don't know about this. They believe not. And the Bible says here that after He appeared in another form to 2 of them on the road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared to 2 more. And they walked and went into their own country, and those 2 went and told it to the residue, the other people. Hey, Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with us, and we didn't even know who He was for a little bit, and then He showed Himself to us. It was really Him, and the Bible said neither did they believe it. Because all they saw was that cross. And all they saw was that grave. But can I tell you this morning, church, that we don't get, I thank God for the cross. I thank God for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I thank God for that borrowed tomb. But I want you to know that angel didn't come roll that stone away so Jesus could get out. That angel rolled that stone away so Brother West could look in and see He is risen. He's not there anymore. Glory. And then afterward, He appeared to the 11. Those 11, Judas is done gone. But those 11 that had walked with Him and had been the closest to Him, Jesus appears to them. And they're sitting there eating, they're sitting there having a meal, and the Bible said He upbraided them. What does that word mean? That means He was upset. Oh, I tell you, don't think Jesus don't get upset. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, the closest to Him. They had a hard heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. But after Jesus got them straightened out, aren't you glad that He loves us enough to straighten us out sometimes? Hey man, I don't like to hear them messages all the time, but I'm just glad God loves me enough. He said, those I love, I chastise. And He said, be zealous and repent. After He got through straightening them out, the Bible says in verse 15, He said, now go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, I'm telling you what, we got to get our belief thing right first. No need in going to preaching until we know what we're preaching about. Amen? Now go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth, I like that ETA, I like this old King James. I like it because there's an ETH on the end of that belief, and it's not just I believed one time, it's a continual, when you see that ETH, it's a continual thing. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. All because of believing. See, I don't really understand those verses. I've had to study them myself. When we believe wholeheartedly, it'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you talk. Amen. It says they shall take up serpents. Some people says, well, I ain't picking up a snake. Me neither. Me neither. Well, the Bible says that, but I'm going to tell you what. You look at this for what it means in the context, as the brother said. The characteristics of a snake is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. If that snake can bite you and get that venom in you, it can kill you. That snake will steal eggs. Amen? You know what eggs are? Eggs means the reproduction of the church. It said he will kill and he will steal and he will destroy. I tell you something else a snake will do. A snake, if it can get wrapped around you, it will squeeze the life out of you. That's why the Lord said you've got power over the devil. You've got power over the things of the devil. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. What's he saying? There's nothing going to stop that true believer. What I've sent you to do, you'll be able to accomplish. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. Shall you believe that? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't believe the rest of it. I mean, what does it mean, the sick? Does that mean somebody that's physically sick? It can. It can also mean the spiritually weak. Amen? And we are to pray one for another. Because we get sick physically, and we get sick spiritually, and we get weak at times. That's why we're gathered together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It ain't just to come to church and to fill a seat. But brother, it's so that we can pray for one another, and lift up one another, and encourage one another. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming with signs following. I tell you, it's time for the church to have signs following. Amen. He came to Thomas in John chapter 20. He appeared there, and Thomas wasn't there the first time he appeared. And they told Thomas that the Lord has showed up. And Thomas said, unless I see it myself, unless I touch those nail prints myself, I'm not going to believe this. Now, Thomas was a believer, folks. Don't say anything about Thomas not being a believer. He was a follower of Christ. He was a disciple. He had sacrificed and he had given a time of his life to follow Jesus. But now Jesus was buried in his mind. And he said, I'm not going to believe that. And I tell you what, you can see so much fraud in the church world that if you're not careful, child of God, you'll get to where you don't believe nothing. Yeah, you're right. Amen. Y'all ever been there? I've seen so much fraud and I say, And if you're not careful, it'll make you so skeptical that you won't even enjoy the real. But Jesus is still real. And Jesus is still powerful. And Jesus is still saving as we see. Glory to God. He's still saving. He's still calling the prodigals back home and he's still running to meet them down the road. So Jesus loved Thomas enough, he just showed up and said, here you go. Here you go. He said, how about you just reach your finger first? Reach your finger and behold my hands. Touch this. And then he said, and take your hand now, not just your finger, but I want you to take your hand now, Thomas, and I want you to just reach in this hole in my side. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I've seen it for myself now, so I believe. And Jesus said, Thomas, I want to tell you something. Blessed are you because you've seen it. But I'm going to tell you who's more blessed. This church that's up here at this camp meeting that hadn't seen the nail prints and they hadn't seen the hole and they hadn't took their finger in their hand, but they believe anyway. I tell you what, those folks are more blessed than you are, Thomas.
Amen.
Here a few years ago, I had a had a hernia surgery, and it lasted a few months, and it busted loose, and I had to go back and have that surgery done again. I went home that night. They sent me, you know, they don't keep you in the hospital anymore. Sent me home that night, and man, I got to hurting bad, and I told my wife, I said, there's something not right here. You're going to take me to Little Rock. And so I got back down at the hospital, and my intestines had twisted after this second surgery. So they put it, I don't know the terminology, but they put the tube up down your nose into your stomach. And I laid there for days and days and days, and they would x-ray me every day, and they said, we're waiting to see if your intestines will come untwisted. And if not, we're going to have to do a major, major surgery to fix this. So I lay there, and listen, folks, I love to eat. Y'all can see that, but I thought I'd been hungry before in my life. I had never been hungry. I was hungry. I was in the hospital, I think, 11 days maybe total. 9 days, it seemed like 90. But every day they would take me into x-ray and see if their intestines had twisted. And I knew people was praying. Church was praying. And I was praying. And one night I was laying there and I felt the Lord untwist my intestines. Felt it. And the doctor come in the next day and he said, I'm so sorry. He said, we're backed up on the x-ray. But he said, I'm going to get you into x-ray and just as soon as we can. I said, Doc, we can pull this out right now. I said, the Lord untwisted my intestines last night. This was a Catholic doctor. He was a surgeon. And I said, the Lord untwisted my intestines. And I said, we can take this. I wasn't liking that thing. And he said, well, let's wait till we get the x-ray. And if it is untwisted, then we'll take it out. I said, look, I don't mean to be harsh, but you can take it out or I'm taking it out. My intestines come untwisted, and Jesus did it. He said, I'm kind of like Thomas. I want to see it first. I said, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you know what it says? It says, blessed are they that believe yet have not seen. He sent me down to the x-ray, sent a nurse in there, and he said, take it out. They come untwisted. Glory. He's good, folks. He's good. You say, why would the Lord let you go? I'm going to tell you what. God lets you go through things for a purpose. It's not all ice cream and cake being a child of God. Don't you listen to the preacher saying you'll never have to face a battle. You're going to face battles till you get home. I've had tragedies in my life. But through it all, through it all, God's been good. God's been good. Glory. Jesus didn't do many mighty works in His hometown because of what? Because of unbelief. Paul stood before King Agrippa one time and he said, I'm just so glad that you permitted me to speak. And he said, oh King, he said, I know that you know what the Word says. I know that you believe this. And so Paul began to go through his testimony about that Damascus Road experience and how the Lord had shown a great light and brought him down and how that he had become born again. And he was so excited telling his testimony that Felix said, it was a loud voice, he said, Paul, much learning has made you mad. You're just going crazy about this thing. He wasn't going crazy, he was a believer. When you had an experience with God, you ought to be a believer. Yeah. Amen? He said, I'm not mad. And then he asked King Agrippa, he said, do you believe this? He said, I know you believe. Do you believe this? And Agrippa said, Paul said, you just almost persuaded me to be a Christian right then. Boy, that hadn't changed. There's a lot of folks that'll grip that seat still today. And they go home and they say, man, I felt God in church. I'm going to tell you what, until you become a true believer, you can be under conviction for years. But when you get saved, you'll know that there's a God. I would that you were not almost, but altogether. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about the children of Israel being in the wilderness for 40 years and how God was grieved with them. Amen. He led them out of bondage. But every time they faced a trial, they would complain. They would moan and they would take on and they would say, what are we going to do now? I'm going to tell you what, the God that brought you out of Egypt can get you to the promised land. The God that brought you out of Egypt, listen, you may have not made it to the promised land yet, and I'm going to tell you something, the promised land is not heaven. The promised land's on earth.
That's right.
Come on, church.
Right.
The promised land is between here and when we get with Jesus. He's got a place for us to live if we'll just believe for it. And He said, harden not your hearts. If you hear His voice today, harden not your hearts. He said, I was grieved with that generation and I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Then He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I don't know what a lot of people does with these scriptures. Huh? You say, well, I've been saved. It don't matter now. It matters now. It matters now. All you got to do is just let unbelief come in your life and you can depart from the living God. Listen to what He said. Take heed, brethren. And then He says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily. Now, God's really been speaking to me about this verse. He didn't say exhort one another at church. Just on Sunday and Wednesday. Exhort one another daily. The word exhort means to call to a person and to urge them to pursue. To call to a person and urge them to pursue. Now, there's probably not anybody or very few in here, if any, that don't have a cell phone. Why not use that thing for God? Huh? The Word of God tells us to call one another, to urge one another daily. In other words, communicate with the body of Christ. Man, God's really been dealing with me about this, church. Communicate with the body of Christ. And we've got now where we just send a text. That's better than nothing. But I tell you what would be better. In person, or at the very least, let them hear your voice. Urge them. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It can happen to any of us. It truly can. It can happen to any of us. Man, I was listening to the brother last night and he was talking about Brother Mike. He was living to preach his funeral. And I was listening to that message and I thought, man, you fixing to get on my... Just leave me a little meat on that bone, brother. And thank God he did. But he was talking about when Lazarus was buried in the tomb. And Jesus had got there, in their way of thinking, too late. And Martha runs out to meet Jesus and she says, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. And he said, Jesus said, he's going to rise again. And listen to what she says, exactly what we say. I know. Yeah, I know Jesus. I know. He'll rise in the last day at the resurrection. And Jesus says, hey, Martha. Hey, Martha. You know, Martha's the one that's busy doing everything that's got to be done, except she's not sitting at the feet of Jesus when she needs to sometimes, like us. We can point our finger at Martha all day, but all of us has been a Martha before. Hey, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. And you know what she says? I know. Lord, I know that You are the Son of God. I'm a believer.
I know what you're saying. And Jesus said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. Shall never die. And the brother stopped right there and I said, thank you, Lord. Because his next question was, believest thou this? You believe I'm the Son of God. But do you believe that whoever believeth in me shall never die? Huh? How many's got family that had a relationship with the Lord? They'll never die. They'll never die. Listen to this. Lord, I believe that Thou art Christ, the Son of God. Jesus goes up to the stone, to the grave, and He said, take away that stone. Martha, the one that said, I know. She said, don't do it, Jesus. Don't take away that stone because He's been dead for 4 days and He stinks by now. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you? Huh? You know everything, but didn't I tell you that if you would believe that you would see, not that you'll see if you believe, not that you'll believe if you see, but if you'll believe, you'll see the glory of God. That's all the Lord asks of us. That's all He asks of us. Well, I'm a believer. I believe God can do anything. But when it gets tough, do you believe then? When the stone's on the tomb and it's 4 days before you see any hope, do you believe then? See, Paul was out on a ship and a Euroclodon come in. I think of a hurricane because this storm had a name, Euroclodon. And the storm was terrible, and the Bible said they hadn't seen the sun and the stars in so many days that all hope that we would be saved was gone. It was taken away. And I want you to imagine these people on this ship that they hadn't seen any daylight in days and days, and the storm just keeps beating and beating and beating, and you think maybe it'll get better tomorrow, but it don't. They didn't have any hope left. Paul walks out there on the ship and he said, hey guys, be of good cheer. And you're thinking, who's this guy? What are you talking about? Be of good. There's Euroclodons going on. And he says, be of good cheer. How are you happy in the middle of Euroclodon? But he said, be of good cheer. Do you know you can have peace in the midst of the storm? Huh? I'm not talking about just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm talking about I know it's going to be okay. Yeah. I know it's going to be. It don't look good right now, but I just know because I know who I believe. Yeah. Be of good cheer. I exhort you to be of good cheer. I believe God. There's an angel of God stood by me this night. And he said, fear not, Paul. You've got to appear before Caesar. There's nothing going to stop it. He said, y'all cheer up now. Because I believe God. That it will be just as he said. It won't be close. It'll be just exactly what Jesus said. Can I tell you to this morning, church, that whatever some of you are going through right now, just cheer up. Yes. Preacher, I ain't seen any hope in a while. Well, I believe God this morning. Yes. I just believe God that nothing's going to stop you from getting where God wants you to be. Amen. Go over to Hebrews 11, and I'm fixing to close here in a minute, but I can't without going here. And we find so many examples of great faith. Yes. Noah built that ark being warned of God. And he built that ark for the saving of his house. Listen, it wasn't raining. He just believed what God said.
This Word hath given us warning after warning after warning. In the last days, perilous times shall come. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. In the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. All of these things are going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be all right anyway. I'm going to get under that flow of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and whatever comes, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
Abraham took his son Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice him. And he told the men, y'all just stay here, we're coming back. Me and the boy. Man, that's believing God. I don't know how he's going to do it, and I don't know what's going to take place up there, but I just believe God is going to be okay. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures for a season. That's believing God, folks. That's believing God. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. See, what does that mean? What does that mean, the reproach of Christ? That means the defaming. That means the stuff that don't, it's not pleasant. You say, am I going to have to do that to be a Christian? You're going to have to go through some reproach to be a child of God. But it's worth it. It's worth going through the reproaches of Christ than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14 says, if ye reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. By faith they crossed the Red Sea. Jericho walls came down. All that in Hebrews 11. Tremendous faith. Not just an easy faith. But I know who I believe today. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks, that we need to know. You need to know that you can be an overcomer. Not because of your strength, but because of Christ. You can be an overcomer. Amen. Paul said, I had a thorn in the flesh and I prayed thrice for it. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I love His strength being made perfect. Even if it's because of my weakness, I am so thankful that the Lord don't answer my prayer the way I want it all the time. Amen? I know we love that verse. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Abide in me and let my words abide in you, and ask what you will and it shall be done. But I'm going to tell you something today, folks. If we're abiding in Him and His words abiding in us, we're not going to ask anything contrary to the will of God. But we can believe that anything we ask will be done if we meet that criteria. We can be overcomers. Philippians 4, Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed to be full and hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What does that mean? That means it's in that context that when I'm hungry, I can do all things through Christ. When I'm full, I can do all things through Christ. When everything's going my way, I can do it. And when it's not, I can do it. I can do it through Christ, which strengthens me. He's not this genie in a bottle. Lord, here's what I want you to do, and here's how I want you to do it, and I want you to do it now. A few years ago, there was kind of a movement going on in a lot of churches, and I heard preachers say, God, I command you to do this. No, you ain't going to command. You're not God. He is. You're not going to command God to do anything. But you got to believe God. You got to believe Him. Even if it don't look right now to you. Just believe. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Whatever struggles you might be going through, believe God, you can do all things because He's going to give you the strength to get through it. Amen? If there's something ahead that you're dreading, quit dreading it. Believe God. Well, I just don't know what this whole world's coming to. Our government's in a mess and everything's falling apart. Quit worrying and start believing. Amen. I read the back of the book. Hello?
We win, folks. You're a winner with Jesus Christ. You're more than a conqueror with Jesus Christ. But if you ain't going to believe Him for everything, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. You're not going to make it through victorious. Would y'all stand with me and piano player, will you come? Maybe you're going through that storm. Maybe you've been through some storms. But we're still here. We're still here. Let your belief be like Paul. I believe God that it's going to be exactly like He said it's going to be. I don't care if I got to stand alone. There wasn't nobody else on that boat, amen, in him when he said that. There wasn't nobody else patting him on the back saying, preach it, brother. He was just standing there alone and he said, I believe God. I believe Him. Friends, if you need to pray this morning, if you need to recommit, if you've been like me and so many others that you look back and so many times you didn't really believe, you might have said you did. You might have been Martha and you said, I know God will take care of this. But you didn't have any peace about it. You were still struggling with it because in your heart you didn't really believe. That's you this morning. Whatever God's dealing with you about, if you will, come to this altar. You know, I grew up thinking that the altar was only...